Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. Well, it's that time of the month, or I should say it's the end of the month, and we've got Mickey Fulp on to do his major market monthly market roundup. And Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kerry. I'm a bit puzzled why it's Labor Day and everybody's not working on Labor Day except you and I.
Everyone isn't working, including my computer stopped working in Skype, but hey, we're here, so we might as well do the roundup the way that's the way I look at it anyway. Stocks put in a pretty blah month for the first time in 3 months. They kind of hit the skids.
Well, that's to be expected when you hit an all-time high in all the major markets. This was driven, the markets are nervous and they backed off from these all-time highs, in my opinion, solely because of Syria and what's going on. You know, we have Obama, the anti-war candidate who became a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, who has now become a warmonger with Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, and most importantly, his war on the Bill of Rights. You know, in his Oslo speech, he said war 28 times and peace 14 times when he was getting the Nobel Peace Prize. So I think that was foreshadow of what's to come.
Yeah, well, he certainly has carried that theme out. And what's interesting is that the UK, England, they've been our ally and partner in crime through all of this, and they said no mas. It actually looks like Congress is ready to put its pusillanimous paw down and say no mas, and he's ready to just go ahead without everyone and just go bomb them into oblivion. Well, I guess it's going to get interesting real quick here.
Well, it's deja vu all over again, and I'll probably disagree with you on Congress. I think that they're giving lip service to the anti-war left and the anti-war right, like me. You know, I'm a peacenik, I guess. But eventually they'll cave in, just like they did on the quantitative easing and the budget, et cetera. Anyway, so the major markets were down. Dow minus 4%, S&P off 3, NASDAQ off 1, Russell 2000 off 3, but still barely below its all-time high. The commodities-driven markets, which would be the Toronto and the Venture Exchange, both up over the month on stronger commodities. And then the emerging markets index was down because basically economic weakness in Chindia, to use Frank Holmes's phrase.
We look at the metals, they continue their gains of the prior month.
Well, that's true, and I think gold's up, driven really by Syria. I'm not sure this is anything more than geopolitical. Silver is looking way overbought right now, up almost 19% on the month. That's not going to continue. Platinum is up once again on labor unrest in South Africa. Palladium, curiously enough, was flat this month. I'm not sure why. And then we look at the ratios. Gold-silver ratio is at a six-month low at 59. Platinum to gold ratio still at 1.1. Platinum palladium again above 2. So we are looking at more boisterous precious metal markets. I think that's to be expected, and as they do respond geopolitically. Copper held in up 3% over the month at 320. I think we are comfortable with that price.
Hey, and just remember, last month you totally called a decrease in the gold to silver ratio, because it was up to 66, which was a pretty tall order.
Well, I was probably hoping for a higher ratio, because I wouldn't mind buying some silver, but we kind of thought that was a little out of it just went up too fast, so now it's come down back down below 60, and And we'll see where it goes from there. You know, like I say, silver looks really, really overbought right now.
Yeah. And then we go to our energies, and a lot of action in the energy pits too.
Well, and that's to be expected. You know, oil is certainly the most geopolitically driven of all our commodities. We had WTI at what, something like a 17-month high at $1.07. 18-month high, I suppose. I'm looking at our charts, up 4%. Curiously enough, Brent is not participating to the same degree. The spread is between Brent and WTI is going a little lower. It's at $1.14. Natural gas in North America is still in the doldrums, closed month at $3.58 a Henry Hub. And then we can look at the ratios. Not much has changed. Brent to WTI has gone up at 1.1. WTI to Henry Hub is at 30. Way back about a year ago, it was at that level. We're going to introduce another ratio this month, and this one is key, and that's the gold to WTI ratio, and it's at 12.9. And what I want to illustrate here is that gold retains its purchasing power. If you go back to 1950, gold was 35 an ounce. Now it was fixed at 35 an ounce, but we had a gold standard back dollar, so we didn't have the rampant inflation we have now. And the gold to WTI ratio right now is 12.9. In 1950, it was 11.7. So somewhere in that range of 11 to 13 tells you that gold retains its purchasing power.
Yeah, and you really do see indications of that all over the place. That old saw that a good men's suit should cost approximately 1 ounce of gold pretty much has held the test over time.
Well, it certainly has. From 1920 to today, an ounce of gold will buy you a really nice suit. It'll still do that today. It will even do more than that if you buy it in Hong Kong. You know, I picked up a really quality suit there for less than $1,000 a few months ago. So, but that's cheap labor in China. So
And increased productivity also. You can't forget that the increased human productivity, aided by machines, by capital, has bumped that up a little bit. But I would venture to say that over time, you're going to see that saw holds true. And the thing about a loaf of bread and silver, you know, definitely these things hold true over time. In human experience, definitely you can see it. So, and then of course we can't forget uranium, Mickey, right?
Well, we probably like to.
We should forget uranium, and if the prices keep going the way they are, at some point we will forget uranium.
Well, we're not going to forget it, but it's down, spot price down to $34. There is no short-term market. Question is, how low will it go? Encouragingly, M&A activity continues in the uranium sector. We had Energy Fuels take out one of my favorite companies, and we walked away happy with Strathmore Minerals take out, and now our Energy Fuels shareholders. And then Fission Energy's new discovery in the southwest Athabasca, they're trying to take out their joint venture partner. That could go hostile. Part of the problem is we have nuclear power plants that are continuing to be shuttered. Vermont Yankee, in your former part of the world, in the northeast of the U.S., will be shuttered. And in the U.S. now, we have 99 reactors operating, whereas we had 104 a year ago. So people just don't get it.
Is that a function of the cheap natural gas market that is making some of these older plants now just not cost competitive
Well, I would say so, and it has to do with the CapEx, so that's part of it. But a place like Vermont, you know, the Vermont legislature and the people been opposing the Yankee plant since it was built. It had a 40-year license. That 40-year license is coming to an end, and the people have spoken. So, you know, it's quite amazing to me that we all know what a Freedom Fest New Hampshire is, and the two states sit right next to each other, and you've got a very socialistic state in Vermont. So
now we go to our currencies. Basically, not a whole lot of movement there either, right?
Not a lot. Dollar index right at 82, euro at $1.32. It's a little bit up, but not much. You know, you could really say they were flat for the most part. And what that really tells you, Kerry, is that gold and oil are up in real terms. So, as to be expected, when you have a geopolitical situation. And then we've added a new item we talked about a couple of times. We finally got it in there, and it's a yield on 10-year treasury bonds at 2.78 right now. That's a 7% gain on the month, about a 40% gain on the year. I think Lindsay Hall had it right at your Liberty Mastermind Symposium when she said short the price of U.S. Treasury bills is a medium, short to medium term play. So it looks like it. It makes sense as they taper off and start to wean us from quantitative easing. It makes sense that that the yields will go up.
Yep.
And the price goes down.
Yeah, and do you think they're really going to taper, Mickey?
I don't know. I'll just take it as it comes and try to make money with a paradigm they give us, Gary.
On that note, we find you at the numerous and varied mercenarygeologist websites, Mickey?
Mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.fm, Twitter at mercenarygeo.
Okay, and of course you find them all at financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and we will see if the metals carry through to next month. That's going to be interesting. So far, beginning of this month, they don't look like they're going to, but till next month, Mickey, you be well, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.
The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.